Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the Christmas story, and we've looked at a couple key people over the past couple of weeks. We've looked at Mary and Joseph, and we've seen how they responded to the news that was brought to them about the Christ child who was about to be born. Well, today I want to look at how the shepherds responded to this news that was given to them. So if you take your Bible this morning and open to Luke chapter 2, we'll be looking at Luke 2, reading verses 8 through 20. And there is a Bible in front of you there in the chair. There should be if you'd like to follow along in our reading. And this is a very familiar passage, I know, to many of you. If you grew up in church and you were maybe even in a Christmas pageant, maybe you had to recite this or learn this by heart. If you've ever watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special, yes, some of you, then I'm sure you've heard this scripture before, very familiar to us. But my prayer is that God would really show you once again how beautiful this passage is as we look at it. Luke 2, 8 through 20 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." But once again, we see here that God uses an angel, or in this case also many angels, to declare his message about the Christ child that was coming into this world. We saw it with Mary as the angel Gabriel came to her and told her that she would be the one who would actually bear the Christ child, the Son of the Most High. We saw it last week as well with Joseph, how an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him, "Hey, Joseph, I know it's really weird that Mary is bearing a child right now, but don't freak out, because what has happened is conceived by the Holy Spirit. This child is a supernatural birth that has happened. So take Mary home as your wife." And again, once a day today, we see the angels speaking to the shepherds. And the Bible tells us that this is really what angels are. They are God's messengers. They're God's servants. The Bible says they do his bidding. Just like God tells the wind where and when to blow, so too he tells angels, "Hey, I want you to go here. I want you to do this." And they obey him. They do his bidding. They are his servants. They help to accomplish his will, his plan. And what was God's plan in this moment in time? That these shepherds would hear the news that the Christ child was just born pretty close to where they were watching their sheep that night. Well, let me ask you, how did God do at accomplishing his plan? I think God did a pretty good job, didn't he? I think the shepherds got the point, didn't they? And again, imagine you were a shepherd that night, and you're just doing your job, minding your business, and all of a sudden this angel appears to you out of nowhere. And what we see here is that these shepherds were terrified. They began to shake in their sandals, and God got his message across, didn't he? And if they didn't get it from that first angel, they certainly got it as the whole host of angels came and said, "Glory to God in the highest. Well, we could spend a lot of time talking about the angels today, but I want to focus on the shepherds. I just want to give you three things to consider today about the shepherds. And they are this: the shepherd's fright, the shepherd's flight, and the shepherd's delight. The first is their fright. We see this in verse 9, where it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." They were really afraid at the sight of this angel. And we see that this is often a common response as we read our Bibles to angels. When an angel comes and appears, people begin to get afraid real quick. Why is that? Why do they get afraid? I know I've seen Touched by an Angel, right? Many of you have maybe watched that show too. I mean, those angels don't seem very terrifying, do they? They seem like nice, kind, friendly, warm angels, right? Why were these shepherds so afraid at the sight of this angel? I think because of the one word that Luke gives us here, and that is the word glory. They came with glory, with this glorified appearance, this glorified glow as this angel came and spoke to the shepherds that night. And what we find is that sometimes the angels appear without that glory. They don't have this glorified glow. The writer of Hebrews would say this: hey, don't forget to entertain strangers. You know why? Because you might actually be entertaining angels and you don't even know it. They could appear just as a normal, quote, human being. That's how they appear sometimes, but not in this case, right? The glory was not veiled here. The glory was displayed. The glory of God was displayed through this angel. God was speaking very clear here to the shepherds. I think of what the prophet Isaiah once witnessed. Remember what the prophet Isaiah, what happened to him? How he got a glimpse of the glory of God. And remember what Isaiah said? Who can tell me? Woe, right? He said, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips." Isaiah, when he was confronted with the glory of God, you know what he soon thought of was his own sinfulness. He was keenly aware that he was a fallen man, a sinful man, totally different than the glory of God. And it's very likely that these shepherds, when they came face to face with the glory of God, you know what they were keenly aware of? Probably their own sinfulness as well. Now, we're not given it here in the text, but historians tell us that the shepherds at this time were not the most, shall we say, righteous people on the planet. They were not the most trustworthy guys on the planet. They were a bit on the, quote, wild side. They were despised by the religious community. And yet, look what God does. Is it not unlike God here to take people who maybe don't have the best past, maybe a bit on the shady side, if you will, and take them and use them for his glory and for his purposes? How about you? Is your past a past that is filled with things that maybe you're not too proud of? I think we can all say yes, Andy. We can all agree that there's things that we've done. Then know this, then you are a prime candidate to be used of God. Because God can take those of us who have not been the most righteous, not been the most trustworthy people, and he can use us for his purposes and for his glory. Now please note, if you have a really squeaky clean past, please don't think that you have to go out and live a wild life in order for God to use you, because God can use both the squeaky clean and both those who are not so squeaky clean. He can use people like Mary, and he can use people like the shepherds for his glory and for his purposes. The point is this: are we listening? Are we listening when God speaks? When God says, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. I want you to hear me. Whether we're a Mary or a shepherd, are we listening to what God is saying? Are our ears wide open? Now, if you are waiting for an angel to come and talk to you and give you some secret message, let me just say this. You may be waiting a very, very long time for that to happen. There's no guarantee that an angel is going to come to you like he did to the shepherds here. But know this, God has already spoken. He has spoken to every single one of you here today. How so? He has said this, one word, Jesus. He said, Jesus. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 1:1-3. Writing to Jewish Christians, he says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. How has God spoken? He's spoken through Jesus. Michael Card once had a song that said this, the final word. He said, the final word is Jesus. God needed no other one. That is indeed the final word. So again, if you are waiting for God to write some message in the sky or appear to you in some dream or some vision, again, you may die before that ever happens. Because what you need to know is this, is God is saying to you, I have spoken to you. I've spoken to you and I've said this, I've sent my Son. I have sent Jesus. Jesus has, past tense, Jesus has been born of the Virgin Mary and placed in a manger. Jesus has lived a perfect life, totally fulfilling all the requirements of the law that you and I could not fulfill. Jesus has gone to a cross. He has provided purifications for sins. He has been buried and he has been raised from the dead on the third day. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father as King and Lord today. And he's promised that one day he's going to come back for his own. But know this, people, God has spoken. God has spoken. Are you listening? Are you listening today? Do you want a glimpse of the glory of God? Do you want to see something even more glorious than all the angels put together? Then do this. Then look to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Seek Jesus, because this is what the shepherds do. This leads us to number two, the shepherd's flight. Now, when I say flight, I don't mean they hopped on a 747 jumbo jet and flew, but they went. We're told in our passage that they went to see. Verse 15, they said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And verse 16 says, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Again, these shepherds ran to see Jesus. Imagine the excitement that these guys must have felt hearing this news and then on their way to the manger. Now, we're not sure how far away this was. We know that they were in a field nearby where Jesus was born here in Bethlehem. It certainly wasn't as far as the Magi. Remember the wise men, how far they had to travel to see Jesus many months later. This was pretty close by. But I often wonder what these guys were thinking on their way to see the baby Jesus. You know, one's probably saying, hey, can you believe it? We're going to see the Savior. Another says, hey, yeah, we're actually going to see the Christ child, the one that God has promised. Another says, yeah, I wonder who his parents are. And maybe another one says, but why in the world is he in a manger? In a place where they feed animals. Why isn't he in a home? Why isn't he in this nice royal palace? Because this is the king we're talking about. All these thoughts that they may have had as they're running on the way to see the baby Jesus. All these questions and all this excitement that they had, it comes to a climax as they arrive and as they gaze upon this newborn king. And as they get there, what do they see? They see this baby, and it's, unfortunately, many of our, you get Christmas cards, right, with the baby Jesus on them, right? What is baby Jesus like, 25 pounds, and he's got blonde hair and blue eyes, and he's got this glow right on his head, and he's like hands in the air like he just don't care. But what did Jesus really look like? Well, he was Jewish, so he had probably dark complexion, and he was a newborn baby. This is the day he was born. Have you ever seen a baby the day he was born? He's like kind of red, rosy cheeks, and really, I mean, even big babies, like 10-pound babies, they still got real tiny heads. And so we're looking at just this little baby that they gaze upon. And as they gaze upon this baby, it's not about really how cute he was, but it's about who he was. Because this was the Christ child. And in the Jewish mind, this is the way they're thinking. This is Messiah. This is anointed one. This is the king who is going to deliver us from our enemies. This is the Savior. This was what they were thinking, the shepherds were thinking when they saw this Christ child, this baby Jesus, who was in swaddling cloths. They fixed their eyes on the Christ child. Well, how about you? Is there an excitement in your heart to see Jesus? And I'm not talking about a baby lying in a manger. I'm talking about seeing the one who is the sovereign Lord of the universe, the one who is seated as King and Lord over all. Are you excited to see this Jesus? This Jesus who has the whole world in his hands, as we just read in Hebrews, it was through him that the whole universe was created. And it's this Lord Jesus that we should long to see. Do you long to see this one who has the whole world in his hand? The one who says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. This one who says, seek me, keep seeking me. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 to his disciples. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus would go on in that passage to talk about the Heavenly Father and how the Father knows what's best for us. When we ask God for something, He's going to give us not always what we want, but what we need. And He knows what we need before we even ask it. And what we really need more than anything is Him. And so Jesus would say that God is able to give good things to you. And by good things, he's not talking about a bigger bank account. He's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit who can produce truly good things in you, like love and joy and peace. And he can comfort you every day of your life. Are you seeking Jesus like these shepherds did that night? If you're not seeking Jesus on a daily basis, then I would say start doing that. Start seeking him with all of your heart, because this is what the Bible says. When you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. The third thing I want to note is this, is their delight. We see that they go back to their fields, back to their jobs, and as they do, they are praising God. Their hearts are filled with praise, and we saw this with Mary as well. Remember what Mary said when she heard the news that she was going to be the mother of Christ? She said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary was filled with praise. We see these shepherds are filled with praise. Well, how about you? Is your heart filled with praise when you think about Jesus Christ? You may have never seen him as a baby or as a man with flesh and bone, but by the Spirit of the living God, you can know who he is. You can know what he came to do, and because of that, you can and should rejoice. As the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. We also see that their joy was contagious. They didn't want to keep this joy and this message to themselves, did they? They went out and told people what had happened. They told people about the Christ child. Well, how about you? How are you doing at spreading the joy? The joy of Jesus I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some, you know, happy-go-lucky, giddy, prosperity gospel kind of joy and happiness that's rooted in greed and selfishness, but this deep abiding joy that comes because you know Jesus. So that even when hard times come and difficulties come, sorrows come, there's always this joy that just keeps rising to the surface because you know Jesus, because you know what he came to do for you. He came to save a wretch like me. He came to save a sinner like me. And that trumps all the stuff that happens in life, right? All the garbage we go through, all the sorrow and sickness. When we know that we have a Savior who loves us and who would die for us as a sacrifice, as a substitute. He would die in my place. All the judgment that I deserve, he was willing to take for me. And that produces joy in me. It should produce joy in you as well. And so as we look to the shepherds today, may we be challenged to, as the song says, go and tell it on the mountain. Go and just tell everywhere, everyone who's ever still breathing, just go and talk to them and tell them about Jesus. Share the joy of Jesus this Christmas season. Because we live in a world that so desperately needs to hear it, and they may not know that they need to hear it. They may think they're okay. They may think they're okay. But we need to share the joy and the love of Christ with them. And perhaps you're here today and you have never ever trusted in Jesus as your Savior. I don't know your background. I don't know how you grew up, what you've done throughout your life, but I can assure you this, that Jesus came to save sinners. And if you believe that you're a sinner, that you've sinned against a holy and perfect God who is righteous and altogether good, then please know this, that there's one who came for you. He died for you so that you might have forgiveness and have everlasting life. And this is what he asks of you. Just turn around. That path that you're going, it may seem really good. It may seem fun and wild and free, but it's going to end with a dead end sign. And it's going to end with an eternity that is separated from God in a place called hell. And so God says, would you turn around? Would you turn around and come to me? Come to Jesus. Bow at the foot of the cross. Believe in Christ and be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your gospel. Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to go and lovingly die for us. Lord, I pray that each of us here today would know the tremendous amount of love that you have, that you would do that for sinners. Lord, you would be perfectly just to send each of us to hell. That would be right. That would be good. That would be just. But Lord, we are so grateful today for your mercy. that in your mercy you provided Christ, you provided a sacrifice for sin. And Lord, I pray that each of us here today would know that in our hearts. And if there's anyone that doesn't know that, that they would seek you out, that they would ask, that they would seek, that they would knock, that they would run to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for today. We pray that you'd be glorified in our lives, and we ask this in your name. Amen.